is bring back Clippy for Word, and that's Copilot. So, Clippy 2.0, whatever.
Hey, Clippy was pretty awesome, so I am definitely 100% down for bringing Clippy back out there as the Copilot icon. Yeah.
But I like your idea of like that it's also an ecosystem play, or of building an ecosystem and then Gen AI just being kind of across everything.
Yeah.
And to be honest, actually, this is a question I have is, does it matter if it's built on top of OpenAI? Welcome to Billion Dollar Products. We're just a couple of product guys talking about how billion dollar products are made and just the cool opportunities we see in them. If you're into product stuff, you're just right at home. I'm Shiv Kodak. I'm the Director of Product Management at Walmart's Sam's Club division. I work with Charles, and I lead the bottom of the funnel product areas across transaction, authentication, financial services, and e-commerce.
And I'm Charles Zhang, also Director of Product working at Sam's Club division. I lead personalization at the company across, you know, CRM, commerce, in-club channels, as well as the discovery funnel in e-commerce.
Awesome. Let's get into it.
Our today's topic is Copilot. Like, everybody's talking about Gen AI. Copilot, let's give you a context. If you guys don't know what it is, it's literally Microsoft's version on top of ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. To very summarize it in a very easy sense. They invested so much into it. Now they've built their own versions to get people to access their stuff. So, and if you guys haven't seen the news over the past couple months, they've introduced so many different Copilot things. One is like their keyboard now has like a Copilot icon button.
Yeah.
And then they just launched Copilot for their finance enterprise software for like Excel modeling. They're doing Copilot everywhere. They have their own Copilot app now. Originally, it was just on Bing, but now they just have on Copilot app.
Now, like a launch point in like Windows, like little menu bar as well. Like that's literally Copilot. Like just blanketing Copilot everywhere.
Yeah. They are just hopping on this Gen AI train and they are doubling down, man.
Yep. So all right, from strategy side, right? So one thing is just distribution. That's what they do have. Like distribution and placement, right? And also, I mean, that's what make Microsoft that, like, and also why they got, I guess, sued about the Intel Explorer back in the olden days, two decades ago. So, but like they do have distribution, they do have placement. That's one side of like, how do we actually get that? And I think distribution by itself doesn't matter, but it's like distribution to differentiate is kind of, I think, what they're trying to do against essentially the only other like large ecosystem player, which is Apple OS.
But I think it's more than that, right? It's not only the hardware distribution that they're trying to go against. I think it's also starting off with Bing, right? Like Google search is a huge revenue driver.
Yeah.
By doing this Gen AI stuff, I think it just takes away people asking Google questions now. If they can just get Copilot, like they even did a Super Bowl ad, right? Like if they can get Copilot in front of everybody, why do you need Google search, which is such a huge moneymaker? And I think that's where Microsoft can really make a play in eating Google's share.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. Like I was thinking Microsoft OS is more comparable to Android, right? Like it's on all the devices. So hardware, there's really no play against Apple, but it's the software and operating system play. So if you're able to differentiate against Apple, because like Apple, I have the latest whatever Sierra or whatever it is on Yosemite, it is on. I'm like, there's nothing AI anywhere versus Microsoft is just iterating with a large distribution. So that's where I'm thinking is like to be able to keep that lead. I mean, I don't have data around this, but I'm just guessing that like there's likely way more Windows in the world than Apple Mac OSs. So just given that, I'm just thinking like, okay, this is a way for them to differentiate their operating system. And I think you're right that there's, because like if you think about the three big prongs of Microsoft, right? It's like the operating system world, like that's one side. The other side is just the Office suite. Like they make bank about that. And then the third is Azure. And then there's of course the long tail. So like operating system, that's a play. They're making a good amount of plays, which you said, right? In the second prong of like Excel and PowerPoint and Word and finance tools and stuff like that. Like essentially their suite of tools. And then I don't know enough about Azure, but I bet you there's some plays that are they're making there to build just differentiation. They have distribution. It's how do you build differentiation? So I think I keep coming back to that point of like, that's what the strategy is differentiate through distribution. Or sorry, differentiate on your distribution.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, that's what they've done with, like, trying to kill Slack, right? With, exactly, right? And so, like, they're trying to kill all these things, just like, oh, we're going to add it onto our suite of things. Like, if you have buy one thing, you get everything. And then basically just giant killer, right? Like, they're just trying to kill every single line item that they just by adding it to their suite of things. Yeah. And this is where also interesting, like, you know, have you heard of Notion by any chance?
Yeah. I've used Notion.
Like, one thing, like, people love their stuff. And like, what I really like is, like, their Gen AI generated material to help you take notes and, like, create stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, crap, that might be dead if, like, OneNote, they add in Copilot stuff. I'm like, OneNote's not bad. Like, Notion's way better, 100%. But, like, if you had Gen AI, like, Copilot to OneNote, it's, like, it's kind of hard to, like, especially if, just what you said, if you have the Microsoft OS.
Yep.
And we're more of the Microsoft Office or anything.
Microsoft suite of products.
Or why tools? Use Notion or like any other products if you have this Microsoft suite of things? So, you know, they're really just getting you hooked on one, because once you have the OS or the Office, you're just going to get you hooked to keep on using it.
Yep. And I mean, you actually bring up a good point of ecosystem lock-in. I mean, me and you are very locked in to the Apple ecosystem, from iPhone to Apple Watch to Macs. But like, there's potentially an ecosystem play that I didn't think about here of like, well, you start with the OS, then you have the suite, and then Azure, like that's, I don't know if that's a potentially ecosystem play, but, oh, before I forget, my side note, funny note is, it's a very popular opinion, is bring back Clippy for Word, and that's Copilot. So, Clippy 2.0, whatever.
Hey, Clippy was fucking awesome. So I am definitely 100% down for bringing Clippy back out there as the Copilot icon. Yeah.
But I like your idea of like that it's also an ecosystem play or a building an ecosystem and then Gen AI just being kind of across everything.
Yeah.
To be honest, actually, this is a question I have is, does it matter it's built on top of OpenAI?
I mean, OpenAI, like, come on, they're the bleeding
investor.
Ones for Gen AI, like the leading powerhouse for Gen AI. They have to use OpenAI. Like they don't like, and also you want a startup to do this because they're the ones that are invested. They're the ones like going through the motions. If you're a big player, like clearly you see Bard, Google Bard or Gemini now.
Gemini.
Like, they're slow moving. They're like the teams are not like gung-ho about getting this out the door, getting usable. If you compare ChatGPT, the like OpenAI software with like Gemini, it's light and day in terms of the responses that you get. So in my opinion, it's like Microsoft did an amazing job just funding them, getting invested into it, and now just like doubling down, just using everything on top of OpenAI stuff, other software. So
that is such an interesting point though, that like it actually, the differentiation is a distribution rather than building the core technology. Which, I mean, makes sense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's literally what Facebook has been doing since Facebook. Instagram, WhatsApp, like, hey, we have the money and distribution. Just plug into our ecosystem and it'll just blow you up.
Exactly.
Just across the world. Yeah. Okay.
One thing, though, that I actually want to question in terms of their strategy of Copilot is they actually created a Copilot right?
Like, I've seen that. I have that on my iPhone and Android.
Why? I'm actually questioning why. The reason I say why is like, one, they're huge investors to OpenAI. ChatGPT has their own app. Two, originally, they put Copilot as a center of Bing app and Bing search. So if they want that search revenue, then wouldn't they want to just leave it with Bing and just have it there? Why do a separate app? Like, it's like now you have, you're splitting your revenue. Like, you also want to make Bing better too, right? Like, Bing is like search ad revenue is like, that's such a moneymaker. You want to get your search market, right? So why not just add on to Bing? But that's just my thoughts. I'm like, that seems a little odd to me that they would separate it out.
Yeah, just because I played with both, right? My hypothesis, I think I got two actually. So one hypothesis is actually it's a testing bed. So if you want to have additional features and not get, you know, death by 1,000 features in your core function, this is a good testing bed for like, think about the demographics that would essentially go download a specific Copilot app. Like they gotta have Bing already. Like that overlap's gotta be massive. Second, you could turn out a ton more features in just like one, because first of all, bet you it has way less distribution than the Bing app. Secondly, it has a higher propensity user that's likely to explore all the different functionalities, go play around with different tools. So it could be a testing ground for signals to then say, hey, you know what? Out of these 20 features, let's put this one in Bing because we have seen our highest retention. That's one strategy I can think of. And then the other strategy I can just think of is a defensibility play in terms of just like all the defensibility vectors you have. So legal, hey, by the way, there's a Bing app as well. Don't worry. Like, this is different. Like, this is a Copilot app, right? Like, there's some defensibility that I can't think of from compliance legal side. There might be defensibility. I'm just like, hey, we just want to have something out there to protect legal, IP maybe. Or on, like, sometimes it's just like, hey, we just want to have something out there to be able to say, hey, there's a Copilot app as well. But majority of the users still use it in Bing. So I could see a defensibility vectors or just honestly Testgram.
Yeah. No, I see that side. I still think it's not worthwhile enough to separate it. Because I'm just like, they just did a huge Super Bowl marketing ad on this. This would be just like, download Bing powered by Copilot and just like get them to use it instead of just like, I understand that they're trying to brand Copilot as a thing. Funny enough, do you know that like Copilot, like, I don't know how they came up with the name, but my guess is like, you know, it started with, when they bought the company, which GitHub.
GitHub. Yeah.
GitHub is Copilot like for GitHub. And I'm like,
yep,
that came out first. And then they branded this whole thing as Copilot. I'm like, oh, they must have tried to use this to like, as like now an ecosystem saying everything that's Gen AI like helping out is now considered Copilot. But I don't know. It's still kind of weird. Like if you're going to create a separate app that does the same thing as the Bing app, put it on the Bing app because there's ads already in there.
Yep,
you need the revenue.
100%.
Like, this must be so costly to run. Like everything is free right now, right? So you don't have to pay to use it. Like even OpenAI, you have to pay to use ChatGPT, right?
True. So let's actually go down that vector. So not vector, sorry. That side of like, okay, so that, we talked about strategy, distribution, ecosystem, why to build a separate one. Execution. That's the one topic I want to think about is the cost. So if you look at the structuring of how they fund OpenAI, of course they funded it with dollars, but they also funded with essentially like compute from Azure. Now I have no idea how that funding works because that's got to be some funky math. Of hey, this costs us a dollar, but we sell it for $3. So this is technically $3 in funding, you know? Do you think, so yes, I agree. It costs Microsoft probably a good amount of money, but could this execution strategy of how to run these, so by the way, if it's across everything, Windows, apps now, Bing, etc., is the execution strategy that like, I think you create some dedicated systems, but you could potentially just be using like, over capacity or like whatever that word is called of like you have basic capacity and then you just have overage. You might just be able to use overage because you already have it sitting in your ecosystem. Maybe you just haven't sold that capacity. I don't know. That would be a very interesting, like whoever might be doing that, like just the pure execution of how do you operationalize this large of a functionality. If you could just fund that through just empty capacity. I mean, that's why AWS started, right? Because AWS was built even before it was AWS was, hey, we need to be able to meet holiday capacity. Well, what do you do with all this capacity for the rest of the year when you don't need to use it for Black Friday? So sell it versus like, I can't imagine that. And who knows? I've never worked in data centers. I've never worked in even data like Google Cloud, Microsoft Azure. If there's just empty capacity and you as a company own that empty capacity, and sure, if you sell it, you sell it. But like, isn't that technically sunk cost? So technically on the books, it just should cost you zero to fund, like use that.
But it still needs to generate everything because like it's still taking up so much bandwidth to run these things. Because like even though it is Google's like outplaying them a lot by the traffic,
but
it still has like a lot of traffic. And then I have a friend in Google who was telling me that their internal Bard per se is like way better than the external one. And then one of the reasons why they can't get the internal one to be used for external or I guess Gemini now is because of how costly it is. It would be to surface it to the public because by having every search run through this program, it's just so costly and intensive. Yeah. GPU intensive.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's why I'm like, if Google is saying that this is really costly, how the hell is Microsoft just like letting things go? Like, that's why I'm like, they should monetize it right away in order to basically get away the cost. I don't know. I don't understand.
This could just be a startup distribution play of just lose money, lose money, lose money, get market share, and then monetize it.
I guess that's what like a lot of companies do. But
yeah, don't get me wrong. They are monetizing it though, because like even originally before DALL-E was on ChatGPT-4, you could only use DALL-E with a limit, and then you have to buy tokens worth X whatever dollars in Microsoft Edge or Bing to be able to shop. Is that big of a money maker? Heck no. But they have already, I think, started putting in some of these railings, because I bet you DALL-E was just like way too cost like intensive to be able to like actually do the same play that they're doing with Gen AI and stuff. And even like Bing, right? Bing's free Gen AI search and all that stuff. I think it's now using 4, but back in the day, it was still using like 3, even when ChatGPT 4 was out. So they are, you're right. I think they are doing a lot of stuff, and I bet you they're losing money on that side as well. And I don't know. I would just like to think there's someone very smart who is using overage capacity to just allow Microsoft to just run a whole feature for free.
Well, maybe. I would love to see the breakdown of that cost structure and like how they're mitigating this cost. I bet it's not cheap. And I'm curious if their S1, I might read their S1 later to see if they have this breakdown. I'm assuming not.
But. No way. But you know what? You don't need to read. You just use Copilot.
Oh, yeah. I will use Copilot to then basically get this answer from me. See if they have it.
Exactly. All right. So we talked about that. We talked about the execution part. Like, if you were to build something interesting in this space, whether bootstrap, whether as a startup, let's put an 18-month cap on it as well. Get to some outcome of stable revenue or even just a sale in 18 months. What do you think? And let's say sale to Microsoft, like the last time we talked about, like sale to the company of the owner of the future. I think what could make that happen?
First thing that comes to mind is basically, you know, listening to the My First Million podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shiv, for recommending that to me. There was one time they're basically saying this guy, he built like an app on top of like PowerPoint or something like that. And then people kept on using it. And then he earns like 200K a year by doing nothing now, or just like small bug fixes, or like even more than that, right? Even $1 million a year now, right? Because basically users. Yeah. If I were somebody, like, I would figure out, like, can I build one of these tools, like these GPT tools, like that would be use it? Maybe Microsoft would be like, hey, look, like, let me just buy this out from you. Or like you have it so that you can just like an add-on that people want to use for these Microsoft tools to be like, build me this. Like, I understand there's like generators for templates now, but like people still want to manually create things and use these tools. There must be some kind of way to help with this and to improve these tools and just like get that kind of market share from those small, like, and it's not a lot of revenue, but for as a single developer, I think that might be a good, just like easy thing to build and just like hopefully just get things, be aware, enough awareness of it and just make a lot of money.
Yeah, so I agree. So I think there's actually two strategies. I 100% agree. And there was, they did that on Microsoft at a PowerPoint, as well as there's like another story I've heard from like this person named like Miss Excel, who is like literally all about just teaching Excel, and she makes multiple millions off of that. And now she's like the branded ambassador of Microsoft for like teaching Excel, because she literally is just all like TikToks to teach Excel. What a conversion. So I got two ideas. One is increase distribution, or second is invest in monetization. So increased distribution would honestly just be like copy the exact playbook you just said, is how can I build features that increase distribution that if this gets bought, you just acquire that full distribution channel, which might be like, oh, an Excel tool, or like even like literally, hey, you become the best in class in the world at teaching how to use Microsoft Copilot. Because if everyone has access, then using it effectively becomes the differentiator. And if you can find it, whether it's like high energy TikTok videos to be able to do this. So that's one. But the other angle is the monetization topic we were just talking about earlier. If you can actually build something in a niche that is highly monetized. So for example, A great example of this I can think of is on Google search, right? Some of the highest ranked keywords and most expensive are like mesothelioma, like that disease. Like those are thousands per click. Like small niche, but very high for lawyers to be able to bid on that for those lawsuits. Like, is there a high niche area that you can build like a tooling on just top of ChatGPT? And like, I'm thinking actually a niche of that could be, hey, like the finance tool that they built, that's one. But where is there a ton of revenue or a ton of money? Oh, nice. I got my thumbs up. Where is there a ton of money? Like whether it's sales, whether it is like lawyers, honestly, like can you build on top of that to be able to sell a business segment to Microsoft where they're like, that's fine. Like it might not be as big. So distribution doesn't really matter. But man, the per ticket cost is massive. So then Microsoft would be able to apply their massive sales force. So like, what are things you can build easily that the Microsoft can apply their full sales force to and then just essentially make a ton of money if you have a high LTV product? And the one I can just think of is exactly like better tooling for like people in finance, which they're more or less doing, right? Like what? And then if you just go down the list of like, okay, they're already doing this, the next one, there's always some point in time where like, this is too small for Microsoft to build, but if it existed, they'd probably just buy it, loop it into one of their tools, and then just apply the full Microsoft sales machine against it.
No, yeah, I think 100% agree with you there. Like, they're going to go after the big segments, the use cases. Like, as like, if you're trying to start up something, I think you have to go to more, exactly your point, more niche segments that they're not going to go after. Because if they're not going to go after, they can't get the business case to do it. Because that's just where you come in, and they're just like, oh, it's probably cheaper to just purchase it.
Yep. So that's all I got, dude. Like, there's some sweet ideas and like strategy and execution for Copilot.